American Christian, how you doing? This is Pete Cooper.
Hey, and this is Dr. David Nichols.
And we have a guest with us today. He goes way back.
Really?
He does. You know what?
He's
he does.
He's a man of God.
He's a man of God. We've known Charlie probably maybe 6 years.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy right now. And yeah. We've invited Charles Hatch. He's, like we said, dear friend of ours. We've done ministry with Charlie, and we are inviting him on to the program, episode 78 of American Christian, and we're going to have him talk about how he had packed up his family from rural Minnesota, sold everything, and went to Bethel's School of Supernatural.
So, Charlie, what exactly was it that made you do that?
Well, when I first met Pete, we were introducing each other, and, we were just sharing something about ourselves, and I remember, I just felt like I needed to share this, and this is something that I had recently read, and I was just finished reading the book of Jeremiah, and so there was a verse that really stood out to me, and so it's Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. So it says, Jeremiah is lamenting to God, just this task that he's put on him. I mean, Jeremiah gets criticized every day by the people of Judah and Israel for all of the prophetic words that he's giving, and you know, it's hard. And so he's just lamenting. So he says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot. Actually, for a while there, when Pete and I would see each other, the first thing we would say to each other was, I can't, I cannot.
Meaning you could not hold the fire in.
We couldn't hold it in. We had to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you and your wife, Charlie, are involved in this great church in North Branch, Minnesota. You guys are doing ministry. But all of a sudden, you just know you got to pull up your roots and go to California. Tell us about that.
Well, it actually how did we know? It's a good question. I'm going to give you a little background to that. Back in the early 2000s, we were just getting tired of the intellectual faith, which started us on a journey. You know, there's got to be more. This has got to be real. It's not right. Just about talk. God is real, and so we started a journey, and you know, and part of that journey is started to learn how to hear from God. And again, we're practicing on learning it, so we're not always right, but you know, we're trying to seek him out, trying to figure out what he said. And one of the things that we felt like he was saying in 2016 was that once my daughter, she was going to go to BSSM, Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, once she left, that God would start to open up the doors for us to go to school, because that had been a pipe dream of mine in particular. So we knew that God was going to release us. once my daughter went to BSSM. He was going to release us to go. So the spring of 2017, I was at a Friday Night Fire event, which I love.
What?
I love those. I really do. And I'm not trying to plug your event here, but it just really spoke to my heart every time I went.
We don't mind, actually. That's fine.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good thing. Hey, come on out if you're just hearing about that.
Yeah, no, it's you've got to go to this thing, Friday Night Fire. But I was just standing there in the back worshiping, and I'm just like talking to God as I'm worshiping, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, where do you want us to go? And I had kind of had in mind of going to a school in Brooklyn. It's called Talbot, and they have a Messianic Jewish studies program, because my wife and I have had this long-standing desire to be to minister in Israel.
Right.
And I thought, you know, New York City has got the highest Jewish population per capita anywhere in the world except for Israel. So what better place to go? And my wife was wanting to go to this school in Dallas, Texas, which was started by Jack Hayford. And that also had a Messianic program. So I'm just standing there worshiping and praying. It's like, Lord, where do you want us to go? I says, you know, the only other place I'd rather go than this place called Talbot would be to go to Bethel. And I felt like the Lord was saying, talk to your wife.
The Lord there, Charlie. That was him.
So that night, my wife had told me later that she was at home and she was praying, and she was having a very similar conversation.
Mm.
And she said, you know, Lord, I really want to go to this place called King's University. And the Lord said to her, he said, talk to your husband.
Wow.
So the very next day, we were getting our house ready. We were in the process of selling our house. We're selling our house. We don't know where we're going.
Oh.
And because we knew we had to go. And so we're getting the house ready to go, and then we were going to go take a drive or go get ice cream or something while the people came in. And I just stopped for a minute, and I went over to Beth, and I said, you know, Beth, last night I was having this conversation with God, and I said, you know, Lord, where do you want me to go other than this place called Talbot? And he said... And I thought, you know, Bethel. And people started laughing because Bethel said the same thing. He says, yeah, I had that same conversation. And God said we needed to talk. And so right then and there, we knew where we were supposed to go.
Because you both wanted Bethel at that point then, right?
At that point, yeah. I mean, we knew that being released from Minnesota meant ultimately getting to Israel, but we knew that there was things that we needed to do before we got there, and one of the things that we needed to do was training and equipping.
Right.
Ooh.
So there was a number of places to do that. So right then and there we knew, and so we took off. We went and got ice cream or whatever to, you know, let the people look at our house. And when we got back, we just got online immediately, and we put our applications in. And so that day, our applications were in, and we, you know, and 2 weeks, by two and a half weeks later, we were both had interviews, and we were both accepted into school. So when we knew we were going where we were gonna go in the spring of 2017.
Man alive.
So then you got to pull up stakes and head across the country out to California.
Yeah, what did you do? Right. You had a kind of a unique housing situation there too, didn't you?
Yeah,
so like, I mean, you got to live somewhere.
Well, let's see. There's a guy that I know that I've worked with who lives in the Forest Lake area, and his name is Jake McKinnon. And Jake knew my heart. We've talked from time to time, and he kind of knew that we were thinking about going out west to Bethel. And one day he called me out of the blue, and he said, Charlie, you got to call this guy named Pat. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time because he and his wife are moving out there. And so just connect with him because, I don't know, I just have to feel like something's on that. So I called Pat, and I had never heard of Pat before in my life. And so Pat and I started this conversation. And Pat knew that we were going to Reading, and I knew that Pat was going to Reading, and we just, so starting in the maybe May of 2017, we just started this conversation. We would talk to each other maybe once a month, saying, hey, how's it going? What's your status? And so finally it came to the point where I called Pat and I said, Pat, we're rolling. We're driving out there now. And he said, okay, great. Well, let me know when you get into town. So by then, they had already found a rental place.
Nice.
So, we started our adventure. We on the 30th of August, or the 25th of August, we went to a closing of our house. And then directly from closing, I got in my truck and Beth got in the car and we headed west. I mean, we were all packed and ready. We drove to the closing with our two cars and
he's ready to go.
Yeah, right. Oh my word. Yeah.
So,
but the Lord, he opens up all these doors, right? I mean, that was kind of like were you seeing the hand of God out in front of you? Or was it confirming it as you went?
He was confirming it as we went.
So you were really in an obedience role.
Yeah, I mean, and by this time, we had heard God enough to know that, we were hearing him correctly.
Right.
And, and he doesn't always fill in all the details. So part of it is that you have to figure some of it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no doubt that he was in it and that he was with us.
Yeah. So when you got to Bethel, Charlie, how did the new series of experiences you went through there, how did it link and mesh with your expectations? Because this is all new now. I mean, you're leaving the Midwest, you're heading out to California, and certain things are really different.
Right. How long has the school been open by the time you got there?
Well, we were the 20th year class.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah.
The school had been going for 20 years by the time we got.
Oh, my word. I thought it was 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. No, it's the 20th year. So they started in the late 90s.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, so we got to Reading, and we didn't know where we were going to sleep or what we were going to do. And Pat told me, my friend Pat, said, Charlie, call me when you get into town. So I called him, and I said, Pat, we're here. And he said, "All right, well, I'll text you my address, and you guys come on over. Why don't you have dinner with us?" Okay, so we drove over there, and I mean, here we are meeting people we never met before. And we went and had dinner, and then during dinner, Pat says, "So, where are you guys staying tonight?" And I said, "I have no idea." And he said, "Well, why don't you stay with us?" So they had a bedroom all made up.
Oh, and, beautiful.
So, you know, the next day, sometime in the middle of the afternoon, you know, Pat says, "So, Charlie, have you figured out where you're going to stay?" And we said, "Nope." And he said, "Why don't you stay with us for another couple nights?" So we did. And so by the end of the week, he said, "Charlie, why don't you just stay with us?"
So hallelujah.
Yeah, so God had just provided a place for us to stay. You know, we had no idea. And in, at the same time, you know, we got there one night, and the next day, school started. We had to get in there and register and get going with school. And so we kind of jumped right into the fire right away. But one of the things that we just, wow, this was pretty amazing, is that we found out when we were at school that the student body was, you know, 18 years old all the way up to 85 years old. They were people like you and me that quit their job or retired early, sold everything that they had.
Wow.
The people from Australia and Great Britain and Germany and Spain and China and you name it, there were people from all over the world like us stopped everything and came over there to go to school. That was just mind-boggling.
Right.
And not only that, but there was people that were hungry for God like us, that people who wanted to hear from God, who wanted to pursue God, like-minded people. And we were just overwhelmed that we never thought that was possible to put so many people with such like-mindedness in one place.
Wow, right? That's really a powerful observation. Really?
Yeah.
Glory to God.
So we were very encouraged at that point.
So you guys, you go through the steps, you walk through what you did a couple of years there, and then God calls you out to Colorado, and then back again to Redding. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
So what was that all about? Because it sounds like a hiccup, but can you explain that?
Well, so we went to school, that was made a ton of connections, and I ended up getting a consulting gig with a company out in Denver, and so I'm working as a subcontractor for them, and there was my son and daughter-in-law got married in Minnesota, so we came out there, and then they ended up moving to Denver, so I agreed to help them move. You know, I moved from Minneapolis to Denver, and so I literally drove the moving truck for them, and then spent a week with them, you know, helping them unpack and kind of get situated in their new apartment and, you know, their beginning of their new life together. And that week I decided that, well, while I'm I got a little downtime. I might as well go into work and just make some connections with the people that I've been working with remotely. So I spent the week there, and while I'm driving, you know, in and out to work, God just starts speaking to me, and he says, "Well, what do you think about Denver?" What do you think about being here for a while? And I thought, you know, maybe I could do this. And so he says, "Well, I think I want you to come out here." And I said, "Well, what about Beth?" And he says, "You just wait." So I knew that I was supposed to talk to Beth, but I was supposed to wait. So I finished the rest of the week. She was actually showing up at the end of the week for the weekend, and then Beth and I were going to fly home. So Beth shows up. I go to the airport. I pick her up, and I'm driving back, and I'm thinking, "Okay, now, Lord? And he says, "Nope, wait. And so we hadn't even been in Denver, you know, she hadn't even been there for 15 minutes. And she says, "So, what do you think about moving here?"
So when the Lord says wait, you better wait.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So I didn't have to say a thing.
Right.
So the seed had already been planted.
Yeah, amen.
And so we knew that there were two things. There was one is that one of my coworkers was not a believer, and I just felt like that, you know, we had developed our relationship over the year prior. And I just felt like at some point or another, there's going to be a conversation between the two of us. I'll call it a come to Jesus moment, or a come to Jesus conversation that I'd like to have. Of course, I'd have to be very strategic in how I presented that. But one of the questions that he had asked me, you know, in our working together, he said, "So where do you find your peace?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well," I said, that answer to that question is kind of a, you know, we need to go out and have a beer together, and I can answer that. So that whole conversation was imminent. And the other assignment was, what I felt was that, you know, my son and daughter-in-law just got married, and we felt like we wanted to be available for them. And plus, you know, the whole idea of, hey, let's go to Denver, it sounds pretty exciting. And then we thought, well, I guess our time in Redding is over. So we... you know, a few months later, we packed up our stuff and moved out.
So in what specific ways do you think the experience at Bethel, at the school there, prepared you for the next step? Can you think of anything in specific, things that you did or experienced at Denver then, so that there was some kind of flow forward in your life that way?
Yeah, most people who come to school go to school, and then they're off. They God directs them to a ministry, or, you know, they go back to their home country, and they have things to do. I mean, more or less 95% of people you know, come, they go through the school, and then they, you know, they go back to, or they go to a new place that on a new adventure to do ministry around the world. So that, with that kind of culture, culture was already kind of just part of the atmosphere around Bethel, is that people are coming, they're getting trained, and then they're getting equipped, and then they're going.
Glory to God. Yeah. I like that.
So we're going to just take a little break here and talk to our listeners. Listener, you are hearing a man here who is telling you that God speaks today, and he wants to be actively involved in your life, not just as some abstract force, but as a personal God, as a father to you, mm-hmm. and guide and direct you forward. And it what Charlie is describing here is the desires of your heart, if you're yielding yourself to the Lord, are going to mesh with his leading voice. And it's going to be amazing how things turn out. Is that what you're saying, Charlie?
I don't want to say that it's all rainbows and unicorns.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's life's difficulties, but he does direct us, and he does say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you."
There it is.
So I just want to say God has been with us in this journey. I mean, it is an adventure. And, you know, we get to, you know, just like all the disciples going on their adventures of preaching the gospel all around.
Right.
It wasn't all just smooth and smooth sailing. I mean, there were obstacles.
Oh, yeah.
And things to deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, God was with them, and he made a way for them.
So, listener, if God's been stirring you and you're thinking even long-term or short-term for an action and a move and to step out, this man is encouraging you today with his experience. This isn't just your imagination. This isn't just some idle dream.
Right.
God's beginning to work on you.
Yeah.
And God has a plan for you that is just as amazing as it was for Charlie and Beth. Now, Charlie, we talked yesterday, and we found out that you have composed a rant about kind of addressing the current situation in our nation. And we really liked what you were saying. And we kind of, if you wouldn't mind, we'd kind of like to have you give us that here today in this part of the program.
One of the things that's been going around in my head over the last couple of years has been identity theft.
Mm.
Come on.
Or identity crisis.
Sure.
I mean, and it. I think it's much, much worse than we think. I believe that God has given us our identity. We've been made in his image. And so I just was thinking about this the other day, and so how could I put this in a picture that kind of describes this identity, loss of identity or identity theft, that basically describes how that has affected the world in a way that that kind of helps everybody relate to this identity theft. Because, I mean, we think about identity theft, you know, get this special program that helps you protect your identity.
Right.
I mean, that's one kind of identity theft. But I think there's a lot of different other ways. And this doesn't necessarily get into that, but it describes general people groups that have been affected by identity theft. So here goes. And so I've titled this Identity Theft in the Seven Mountains. So I would say that for the last couple of years, at least from my point of view, have been a disaster. There seems to be an identity crisis or a mass identity theft going on. So I'm going to start here and say politicians, government, people in government have lost their way. They're supposed to be governing and lawmaking. And now they think they're doctors, scientists, bankers, educators, and parents. They've lost their way. it's about people, not your pocketbook. And so I'll call that political tyranny. Bankers think that they're now social scientists. Social credit scores are coming to the United States eventually. Think the right way, you'll get a reward. Think the wrong way and make waves, and too bad for you.
Right.
This is financial tyranny. Doctors have abdicated their responsibility completely. The almighty dollar and those political doctors from DC have overturned common sense. Healthy people are now bad for business. And Dr. Mengele lives again. At least that's the way I see it. Medical tyranny is happening. Science, engineering, and technology has now become the kings of misinformation for the mighty dollar. These people are now corrupt businessmen. Twisting science, like trying to make a bad lab experience, mimic or reveal the empirical data from a science book. Well, a science experiment and the empirical data aren't necessarily exact. I mean, empirical data is data that's accumulated over one experiment after another, after another, after another, and sometimes things in the experiment go wrong, and so not every experiment is exactly the same, and so, anyway. So now science data is to the highest bidder. Science is not for sale, nor does it have an agenda. It's about facts, not confirmation bias. So there's scientific tyranny going on.
Wow.
Teachers think that they have taken over the role of the parent. Parents are aghast at what is being forced down the throats of our children. Who are the child abusers here? School boards have gone haywire. The teachers' unions are afoul of incompetence, cronyism, lockstep with left-wing social engineering. Crush the teachers' union and the school boards. Stop abusing our kids.
Right.
Stop the educational tyranny. Entertainment, art, and media. They think they're on a more. They think that they're our moral compass. More like the immoral compass. Lockstep with the radical left-wing agenda. They have no brains. They just mimic the ones who write their checks each week. MSM equals Pravda. Pravda is the propaganda machine in Soviet Union, in communist Soviet Union. No thinking involved. Just do what we tell you. It's not news, it's propaganda. Athletes are too stupid to stand up for themselves. Coaches and owners are shaming athletes who don't have an independent thought. Cancel culture, brainless lemmings. Again, entertainment, art, and media tyranny. I hate to say this, but churches self-identify with Joe Biden as Joe Biden. They don't know who they are, nor remember how they got there. Did the church forget what happened before the Europeans came to North America? Has the church forgotten who they are and their purpose? Do they have a backbone left?
Hmm.
Are they too worried about being relevant instead of standing for truth? If we can't stand for truth, we'll stand for anything. Is the church irrelevant? We need revival. God, save us. And I call this an appeal to heaven.
Wow.
So that's it.
Yes.
It probably could use some editing, but I think you get the general idea.
Right. You know, and in light of the election results last night, I would say it was prophetic, because, and I don't believe that any political party or system is going to save our souls, but there's definitely an overlap between what we are requiring of our leaders or expecting from them, and perhaps there's hope for America. There was a red wave last night in Virginia, especially, that was really centered on one of your points there, which was what is being put into our children by the educational system. And I think the voters of Virginia spoke pretty loudly that they're tired of this and want it to change. Now, we would say, of course, as Christians, this has got to translate over to repentance and seeking God and knowing God. And we believe it's going to. We believe awakening is coming, Charlie. And you do too.
Yeah, I do.
Man alive.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the answer to all of this?
Jesus.
You've heard it said before. But we need revival.
Yes, sir.
And it begins not in the schools, or not in the banks, or not in the government, but it begins. It begins in our heart.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that I need a heart transplant.
Right.
The Rush City needs a heart transplant. The right. State of Minnesota needs a heart transplant. The United States needs a heart transplant. That the world needs a heart transplant, and the only way that all of this gets fixed is that the love of God overcomes us. And so I just pray that would happen.
Amen.
That's my prayer.
You know, that personal revival that you're talking about is a revival that no one can stop you from having. No demon, no devil, no human being.
Right.
Corporate revival where it sweeps over a whole area. Now that's another issue. That's you know, multiple human beings coming together and responding to God. But when God moves like He did upon your heart, Charlie, this is so encouraging.
Yeah.
Listener, hear this, what this man is saying, until it can actually move you to move across the country and seek God. And this is revival. Is hearing the voice of God and obeying, even when it costs you something.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And, you know, kind of the early observation that maybe people don't recognize is that, you know, Charlie, you're now in your 50s, and this was something that you did after your kids had pretty much moved on and had started new lives. So you don't have to be young, and you don't have to have a crap ton of money to go pursue what Jesus has laid upon your heart. Jesus knows your financial situation, but He knows your spiritual situation, and He knows that what He wants to do is bring you into relationship with Him. You know, I was listening to Michael Koulianos this morning, and he was talking about, you know, that he was crying out to God for 3 years for revival, revival, revival. And the Lord said to him this, "Michael, I know that you're crying out for revival, but I haven't heard you tell me recently that you love me."
Mm-mm.
And what He wants is for us to come into that relationship in the fullness of knowing His Son, Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. He was at the beginning. He was at the middle. He's at the end of this. It's about Jesus. He is coming back. He is coming for His bride, and He is going to rip open the heavens, and it's going to be a man, Jesus, the God-man, standing there, and the whole world is going to see it. Glory to
God. That's right.
So don't take your time. When the Lord starts to speak to you, start to move aggressively, because there's some wonderful things that you're going to find in the midst of all of this.
And listener, revival, this is the takeaway here, I believe, today. the revival that you're praying for is right in front of you, and it is daily coming into this intimacy with the Father and with the Son, and enjoying your relationship with them. You're not a slave, you're not a servant. I mean, you are, but you aren't. There are verses that talk about that, of course, in the New Testament. But as a servant, you have to rise to a place of being a son and being a daughter of this Father who loves you so very much. Mm. So I trust that encourages you today, listener, and we really want this to be a blessing to your life. An encouragement to the time will come when some of you just need to take that step and step right out.
Amen.
Yeah. So this has been American Christian, and we trust this has been a blessing to you. We thank Brother Charlie Hatch. Man, what a blessing, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks for being with us. Pete, you got anything else for us?
I don't. I just say thanks for listening, and continue to follow after Jesus. Hard.
Mm. Amen. Yeah.
Run after him with everything that you have.